From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a message called Saints and Sinners Infallibly Identified and Eternally Separated, the fourth in a short series dealing with Romans chapter 8. The text is verses 5 and 6, in which the Apostle Paul draws the distinction between those who are after the flesh and those who are after the Spirit. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns explained that this is not a reference to the difference between carnal Christians and spiritually healthy believers. Rather, it is the distinction between those who are lost and those who are truly saved. In the first part of the message, Dr. Cairns defines Paul's terms. After the flesh is a reference to the natural, unregenerate man, whose mindset is controlled by the fallen nature he inherited from Adam. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please listen to this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. To preach deliverance to the captives. None but Jesus can give deliverance to captives. Real liberty comes from Him only. It is a liberty righteously bestowed. For the Son, who is heir of all things, has a right to make men free. The saints honor the justice of God, which now secures their salvation. It is a liberty which has been dearly purchased. Christ speaks it by His power, but He bought it by His blood. He makes thee free, but it is by His own bonds. Thou goest clear, because He bare thy burden for thee. Thou art set at liberty, because He has suffered in thy stead. But though dearly purchased, He freely gives it. Jesus asks nothing of us as a preparation for this liberty. He finds us sitting in sackcloth and ashes, and bids us put on the beautiful array of freedom. He saves us just as we are, and all without our help or merit. When Jesus sets free, the liberty is perpetually entailed. No chains can bind again. Let the Master say to me, Captive, I have delivered thee, and it is done forever. Satan may plot to enslave us, but if the Lord be on our side, whom shall we fear? The world with its temptations may seek to ensnare us, but mightier is He who is for us than all they who be against us. The machinations of our own deceitful hearts may harass and annoy us, but He who hath begun the good work in us will carry it on and perfect it to the end. The foes of God and the enemies of man may gather their hosts together and come with concentrated fury against us. But if God acquitteth, who is he that condemneth? Not more free is the eagle which mounts to his rocky eyrie and afterwards outsoars the clouds than the soul which Christ hath delivered. If we are no more under the law, but free from its curse, let our liberty be practically exhibited in our serving God with gratitude and delight. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Thank you. The selection you have just heard is part of a CD entitled Our Song of Praise, featuring the piano artistry and arrangements of Joan J. Pinkston, who serves as pianist at Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. For over 40 years, Joan has taught music theory, hymn playing, and composition to thousands of Christian young people at Bob Jones University. During that time, she has sought to instill in them a Christ-centered view of sacred music. Joan's philosophy of sacred music is summed up in her words, "There is really no such thing as sacred music without words. It is the Word of God that draws a Christian closer to Christ. Only when biblical thoughts are expressed in words, as with a psalm, a hymn, or a spiritual song, can any music be considered sacred. When the message of the words and the impact of the music are in harmony, the greatest communication takes place." Our Song of Praise features 13 of Joan's arrangements of such favorite hymns as Jesus Paid It All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, and Be Thou My Vision. This beautiful and inspiring CD would make a wonderful Christmas gift for family and friends. Copies of Our Song of Praise may be obtained from Faith Free Presbyterian Church. The price is $15 per CD, which includes postage and handling. Simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Contact us today for your copy of Our Song of Praise.
Justification is in union with Christ. And that vital union with Christ is a union that produces a real holiness, a change of our very being, where we are made new creatures in Christ. So he has proved that a justified man is of necessity a sanctified man. Now he continues, and the emphasis is that an unsanctified man is by definition not a justified man. Follow Paul's reasoning here. If he's after the flesh, then he says, the mind of the flesh is death. So he's under condemnation. But the whole text of the chapter is, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation to the justified. So therefore, these people who are after the flesh, under condemnation, are not justified. You see, the justified by faith in Christ have this mark about their lives. They walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For, that's how our text commences, because they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit mind the things of the Spirit. I want us tonight to think of this, that the saved and the lost each bear a peculiar mark. A mark that distinguishes them in this life and will separate them for all eternity. So here's the subject of the text tonight. Saints and sinners, infallibly identified or distinguished, and eternally separated. Now, when you look at these verses 5 and 6, there's a very simple way of dealing with them, and I'm going to take that simple way. We're going to take the terms of the text. We're going to go down through the words, the terms that Paul uses, because there's so much confusion about the words that he uses. And then the teaching of the text. And we'll be here in time for next Sabbath service, because I'm sure we'll still be here if I were to do that in great detail. But I want to do enough to make you understand what he's saying. I'm going to look at the terms. First that he employs about sinners. Notice the words, they that are after the flesh. The word after normally would be taken here, they that are according to the flesh. Notice what he says in verses 8 and 9. He speaks of them being in the flesh. Now, these are the same people who walk after the flesh. Verse 13, who live according to the flesh. Understand what the Bible here means by the word flesh. It is the unregenerate human nature as it came from Adam, polluted and corrupted by sin. To be after the flesh, to be according to the flesh, is to be controlled and governed and determined by that unregenerate, corrupt and depraved human nature. It is to have not the Spirit of Christ and to be therefore none of His. It is to be, as Paul said in Ephesians 2, without God and without Christ. Now, I said that these people who are after the flesh are the same people as walk after the flesh. But that doesn't mean to say those two expressions are the same thing. They're not. One is much deeper than the other. You see, they walk after the flesh. That's what sinners do. That's behavior. But now Paul goes further and he says they are after the flesh. That's their being. That goes a lot deeper than behavior. You see, what is wrong with sinners is not just their behavior. What is wrong with men outside of Jesus Christ is not just what they're doing or what they're doing. And that's what so often we pay attention to. What they're doing is obviously wrong. Even the plowing of the wicked is sin, the scripture says. But there's something deeper than the doing. It's what they are. You see, behavior may be corrected. Behavior may be modified. But there can be no real change in the inmost depths of the person by any mere human activity. The real trouble lies with what men are. They are after the flesh. Now, we're told that they mind the things of the flesh. The word mind makes you automatically think of their thought processes, their mind, their thinking. But this is a word that means a whole lot more than just to think. I'm sure you have heard at times of some front man, say a political stooge, you know, somebody who has a plastic smile, has a well-groomed appearance, but to quote a famous friend of mine in Northern Ireland about a politician there, if his brains were dynamite, he wouldn't have enough to blow his nose. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. So when you have these front men, or it used to be said about athletes, especially for some reason or other boxers, they must have thought they had whatever brains they had knocked out of them. And they would have minders. You heard of that? They would have minders. Now the minders, now that word didn't mean they were thinking about them all the time, just actually they were thinking about them all the time. But it meant that they were controlling them. They are the real controllers. They're minders. They that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. This is a word that's variously translated. The Lord Jesus said to Peter when he was seeking to keep him back from the cross, "Thou savorest not." The same word. "Thou savorest not the things that be of God." And Paul told the Christians in Rome to mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. This is the word that he used. In chapter 14 of Romans, he's talking about regarding a certain day, keeping it in a special way as a holy day. It's the same word, regarding it. When he told the Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," this is the word that he used. When he commanded the Colossians, "Set your affections on things above," this is the word that he used. So the mind of the flesh, this minding the things of the flesh, speaks of an entire disposition. It speaks of the affections of the heart. It speaks of the purpose of the will, along with the thoughts of the mind. So those who mind the flesh and the things of the flesh have their whole being fixed on what belongs to the unregenerate nature. What occupies them, what concerns them, is what belongs to the unregenerate nature. Now, those things of the flesh may be gross sins. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 19 and following, and he said, "The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." If my memory's right, he gives a list of 19 things. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. And he adds, "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." By the way, by that standard, half the pulpits in America would be vacant today. By that standard, half your deacon boards and elder boards would be wiped out of existence. By that standard, half the churches would be empty. Not talking about people who fall into sin, repent, and get right. I'm talking about people who can twist the scriptures to rationalize a lifestyle of open, flagrant ungodliness, pass it off as some sort of modern, permissive Christianity. When Paul says, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, those are open, gross sins. But the things of the flesh run much deeper than that. Did you ever think of the words of the psalmist in Psalm 10 and verse 4 about the wicked? The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Now we're getting to the real heart of the mind of the flesh. It is a life that's ruled by self without God. And you know, that may just come under the guise of high culture. I know that this may not be what you want to hear. But really, and I'm not by any means equating the product, but at the end of the day, when the Beatles were stoned on drugs and turning out their rock garbage, was it any more the mind of the flesh than when Mozart was caught in filth and perversion and adultery turning out his music? Not equating the product, but I am saying that the mind of the flesh can come in the guise of high culture. I would say indeed, you look at the poor drunken sot, the poor drug addict that's walking broken around the streets of our cities today. Sure, that's the mind of the flesh in operation. But is there as much perversion there even as when you take a man gifted with great intellect, great artistic ability, great writing ability, great powers to do something that if consecrated to God would be of use in the world, and they're totally given to the corruption of mankind and to the blasphemy of God? Stop and think. How many of the world's great writers today are writing for anybody but the devil? You tell me. Many of the world's great artists today are producing anything but for the devil, taking the gifts of God, perverting them. Remember the illustration I've given from the book of Leviticus? Various times, God gives you a list of the unclean. The mouse and the mole and the rat and the spider, these things that are on the ground, my, they are unclean. But just as unclean is the eagle that soars in the sky. Point I'm making is this. Don't kid yourself that because you're not a drunken sot and because you're not living in open immorality and you're not a thief and you're not a murderer and you're not this and you're not that, that somehow you're not guilty of living after the flesh. God is not in all his thoughts. The life of self without God. And thus, Paul says, to be carnally minded is death. There's no is in the original. The idea is to be carnally minded, death. Two things go together.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.